Good morning, church. It's really great to be here this morning as we spend this time in worship before God. And as you know, we have been doing a series for the last couple of weeks on loving one another deeply. And, you know, this morning, I would love to continue this lesson that we have been doing on loving one another as we continue to look into the scriptures, to look into the lives of different people who had that type of relationship with each other. This morning, we're going to look at David, the life of David and Jonathan. So far, we have listened to loving one another deeply, starting with Jesus and John. That was the first lesson taught. Then we looked at Paul and Timothy. And before today, we looked at Priscilla, Aquila, and Apollos. You know, today we will hear about David and Jonathan's love for one another. And like the others, this relationship was established through oneness of spirit, loyalty, and selflessness. Let us listen to what this relationship can teach us in our one another love for each other. So as we go into the scriptures this morning, my first point is becoming one in spirit. I'm going to pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 18, reading from verse 1 to 4. So you're going to read that now. And let's read. It says here, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So in verse 1, we see David was finishing a conversation with Saul, with King Saul, right? Saul took notice of David's courage from the Lord to face Goliath. David had just faced Goliath. And what happened is that Saul took notice of him and asked his commanding officer to get David to come and speak with him. So David was there speaking with King Saul. You know, Saul took notice of David's courage from the Lord to face Goliath and destroy him, cutting off his head. Abner, the commander of the army of Israel under King Saul, took David to the king, whilst David had Goliath's head in his hand. And the king asked David, "Whose son are you?" David said, "The son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." This account was from chapter 17, verse 55 to 58. So I went back a little bit just to kind of bring us forward in terms of what was happening, to give us an idea of this one in spirit that Jonathan felt towards David. Going back to verse 18, verse 1, and I'll read it again. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And it goes on to say, and he loved him as he loved himself. You know, going back in that verse there, it said Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. What about David made Jonathan feel such strong bond to him? What about David? You know, in that moment, Jonathan saw and listened to a young man as himself, having that same passion for the army of Israel, the people, and God's honor not to be belittled by an uncircumcised Philistine. He saw courage, passion, a man who trusted in God to take the fight to the Philistines. And this is what Jonathan saw in David. But let me take you back a bit on a journey that Jonathan and his armor bearer went on to highlight that in the scriptures. We're going back to 1 Samuel 14, and we're going to read verse 1. We're going to skip the others, go to 6, and then we're going to read from 8 to 15. All right, so picking it up in 1 Samuel chapter 14, reading from verse 1, and it reads, one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. So Jonathan was about to do something radical. You understand? Very radical. And he did not tell his father what he was about to do. He just pulled his armor bearer with him and tell him, "Let's go and do this thing I'm about to do." In verse 6, it reads, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." So again, we're seeing that Jonathan is putting his trust in the Lord, right? He is putting his trust in the Lord. And he's about to do this act that will devastate the armies of the Philistine. He went into their camp. But let me keep reading as we go through it. We're going to see Jonathan's courage in these passages. And it reads, Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they are hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to see us and we will teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. What an amazing feat that these two young men took on. It was amazing what Jonathan did at that point. Not telling his father, but went ahead and did this. You know, we see here a few chapters before Jonathan and his armor bearer alone took on the Philistine and trusted God to deal with him ever so severely. The amazing thing is, David's courage came from God to deal with Goliath. God was with David, and in Jonathan and his armor bearer moment, God was with them. When they went to fight against those uncircumcised Philistines, taking the fight to them in their camp, in verse 15 it said, "The ground shook, which was a panic sent by God." God was with Jonathan. Do you see a similarity here between David and Jonathan? Very interesting. Jonathan went into the camp and take on these men, trusting God, and say God will give them into our hands. David, when he heard Goliath, you know, saying all that he said about the army of God and Israel, he became passionate and decided, "I'm going to take on this uncircumcised Philistine and do what I need to do to him." And we saw the outcome of that. So right there, so you see, When David's courage was revealed for his love of God, the army of Israel, and the Israelite people, Jonathan's love for David was clear, and he felt one in spirit with him. Because Jonathan could have relate to what David did. Because he did it too. He did it. But, and you know, it's like seeing somebody just like you. They have the same passion like you. And you become one in spirit with this person. Jonathan became one in spirit with David because they both did something crazy for God. And the Israelite people and the armies of Israel. He could have related to this man when it comes to doing crazy stuff for God. My second point is, love others as you love yourself. In verse 1, also shares this of chapter 18. Let me just find my place back here. It says here, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Now, I want us to really think about this for a bit. In verse 1, also shares Jonathan's love, how Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. You know, to love someone so deep shows how loyal you are, prepared to be to that person. How loyal you are prepared to be to that person. You know, Jonathan's love for David became so intense that in verse 3, this is what it said, and it reads, "And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself." Wow. Jonathan made a covenant with David. You know, to make a covenant with someone reminds me of God's covenant with Abraham, the people of Israel, and Jesus, when he was willing to lay down his life for our sins, taking the entire cost to do so on himself because of him and the Father's love for us. You find this in John 3:16. You know, God established a covenant through Jesus with us. He established a covenant. But what it took for that covenant to be established, it took love. Just as Jonathan loved David as he loved himself, God loves us the same way. And he made a covenant through his son for us. In the Old Testament, he made a covenant with Abraham, with the Israelite people. It's because of love. My third point is, not just saying, but showing love. You know, what Jonathan did to show his love and loyalty to David. What Jonathan did to show his love and loyalty to David. What he did. What did he do? Let's pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 18. You know, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So he gave him his robe, his tunic, his sword, his bow, and belt. All the things Jonathan valued, he stripped himself of it to give to David. You know, I remember a brother, well, Patrick, my brother, being sick one day whilst he was in Tobago living at that time, you know, some years ago whilst he was here in Tobago. And he called me and he said how sick he was feeling. And he was really sounding terrible. And I spoke to Ruth about it and she said, well, go over and see. It was about after 8 in the night. And I got dressed, went over, and Patrick was really out of it, you know. And I stayed there with him, make sure that he, you know, go through the process and he feel good. But just for him to have someone there And me making the sacrifice to do that for my brother, my wife willing to allow me to go, all so that I could have met his need at that point in time. And it was very important that I do this for him. Patrick was a great help to me with the church in Tobago. You know, he advised me, he helped me with lessons, he helped me organize things, he helped me with going out with the guys and reaching out to people. And God had allowed us to have many successes with him being here, you know. But my love for him in the moment was, I was very concerned about his health and what he was going through. And, you know, Patrick truly, you know, expressed his appreciation of, you know, me coming over and spending that time with him. But this is what it takes. It takes us giving up self to help someone else. And are we like that? Are we doing that for one another? You know, Jonathan did this for David. You know, is this the kind of love we have for one another? To love another requires being willing to lay down your life for the other. You know, Jonathan gave up his prized possessions and gave someone he felt deep love for. He gave his prized possession to someone he felt deep love for. What do we have in common as David had with Jonathan that allowed for Jonathan to feel one in spirit with David? You know, they were both crazy for God and Israel. I mean, these two guys did, as I shared with you about both their lives, as you know about David and Goliath. But, you know, Jonathan was one in spirit because he was just as crazy, you know, to take on these Philistines, go into a camp, you and just your armor bearer, to take out and say, God is with us. And God helped them. And then David, when he took on Goliath and said, God is with me. And he went and he defeated Goliath. They were crazy for God. You know, what should allow us to share that common bond with each other? Is that we are crazy for the Lord God to make Jesus Lord of our lives. This, like David and Jonathan, should create in us a oneness in spirit. With that, we begin to love one another deeply, being prepared, like Jonathan, to strip self of self to show love to one another. That's where our heart needs to be. We share this common goal. It's not easy to say Jesus is Lord and submit yourself to his will and the Father's will and live your life by his will. Many people have not yet come to Christ because they have to give up self. We are crazy enough to make that decision. And that in itself should bring us to a place where we are one in spirit and have that desire to love each other and have that same love for one another as we would have for ourselves. You know, laying down oneself for others requires desiring to help others grow, making time for each other, thinking of ways to encourage, helping with each other's needs, being like-minded, kind, generous, forgiving, apologetic, etc., etc. Willing to lose self and hand it to another. If we don't become this for each other, imitating David and Jonathan relationship, then Jesus will see this. And we'll go to Matthew 25, verse 34 to 46. So let me just get there. We're almost there. Matthew 25, verse 34 to 36. And it reads, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. You know, in this first part of it, you see a relationship. You see a desire to care for the other person, but it's relating back to Christ himself. This is what he said to the people who did not do this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothe and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So Jesus replies, before we get into what he said to those who did not do the right thing, Jesus replies to those who ask when. And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of my brothers among you. You see how important it is for our relationship with each other to be paid close attention to. We cannot play with our relationship because God is determining us helping him when we help one another. But look what he says here in verse 41. Then he will say to those who on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, from blessings to curse, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and you did not invite me in? I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. How sad. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Wow. You know, our relationship with one another, I want you to listen to this carefully. Our relationships with one another determines our eternal destination to be with Christ. It determines it. Our relationship with one another. We have to take our relationship with each other very serious. In John 15 verse 17, and I'm going to turn there quickly. Well, I don't need to. You know, Jesus commands us to love one another. This is not something Jesus is begging us to do. Jesus made this a command. A command is that he expected to be done. He commands that we love one another. This is important. And we've seen through the series we have been doing many different relationships, starting with John and Jesus, Paul and Timothy, Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos. We see these relationships now with David and Jonathan. We see this relationship telling us something. From Old Testament to New Testament, it is telling us something. Are we paying attention? Are we paying attention? You know, Jesus commands us to love one another. I encourage you to obey and grow in doing this more and more with each other. And I got this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 9 to 10. And we're gonna turn there now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to share this with you. It reads, 9 to 10, it says, now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. So the church in Thessalonica, they were taught by God how to love one another, and they actually was doing it. But Paul said, he encouraged them. He said, look, man, I know that you guys are practicing what the Lord is teaching you. But look, let me encourage you. Do it more and more. Do it more and more. It's very important for us to take this challenge up. You know, Paul shared this with them. He encouraged the brothers and sisters because they were learning from God how to love each other. But he also told them to do this more and more. So you see, love for one another is littered throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. We need to take to heart Jesus' command. Jesus' command is this: love one another. Let us not take this lightly at all. This determines our eternity. Because let me tell you something, if we can't have good relationship with each other, it disappoints God. It don't set us up to be a great example to others. Because if in the church we cannot agree, we are hurting each other, we are doing things against one another, we are not taking care of each other, it don't set up a good example for people to follow us. Our example needs to come from us willing to obey that command to love one another. I hope that we get it. My fourth point is this: deep friendship, death, and grief. And I'm just going to go through some of the things David would have felt for Jonathan and his father after their death, but also to show a part of the relationship, how David treated in with his relationship with Jonathan and vice versa. So in 1 Samuel 20, I'm not going to read it, but you know, I'll encourage you to go into it, but I'm just going to highlight a few things from it. You know, David confided in Jonathan. Jonathan protected David. David listened to Jonathan. Jonathan challenged his father on David's behalf, based on him wanting to kill him. In 2 Samuel 1, from verse 1 to 27, David learned of Jonathan and Saul's death. David mourned, wept, and fasted till evening in learning of their death. David lost his best friend, his one in spirit brother, whilst Jonathan was in battle. David made a lament for Saul and Jonathan. Now the people of Judah was taught of the bow. It is written in the book of Jasher. And we can also find it from verse 19 to 27 of the same chapter I've just shared with you. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 1. You know, this morning, if we learned anything at all, we must realize church is not about buildings. I want to really establish that in our minds. Church is not about buildings, traditions, rituals, and whatever else. But church is about one another relationships with each other that glorifies and honor all that God had Jesus done by laying down his life for us, bringing us together to have a relationship with God through Christ and with one another. This is very important for us to understand. Church is not about buildings, traditions, and rituals. The church, along with God, is all about a relationship. And that is what God is looking at among us. He's looking at our relationship with Him and His Son, and He's looking at our relationship with one another. Hence the reason it was so important, inspired by God, by His true His Holy Spirit to Nino, for us to pay attention to relationships in the Bible. And it's an honor for me to look into the life of both David and Jonathan to share from their life what it will take to have a relationship with one another that glorifies God. But first, we must understand that we must put self down to help another. We must love another as we love ourselves. If that is not happening, I encourage you to look into your heart, look into your life, and work on this area. I too have areas in this area to work on. And I look forward by these many lessons that we have heard. And this morning, what we are hearing, the importance of our one another relationship. Let's take this to heart. It determines a lot based on our eternity. So like Jonathan and David, let us grow more and more to love one another deeply. Let us obey Jesus' command. At this time, as I've closed off the lesson, let's go to God in prayer and ask God to give us the heart that will allow us to do and obey the command of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, so much for your word. We thank you so much for the many examples in the scriptures, for the life of Jonathan and David, for the life of Jesus and John, for the life of Paul and Timothy, for the life of Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos. These people stood out in their one another relationship with each other. God, and we pray that as men and women who are walking in our relationship with you right now, Father, in this present time, that we will work on our one another relationship with each other. I pray for every disciple to commit to this, to commit to working on the relationships that may have a strain somewhere, that may have, you know, a little place where, you know, there's unforgiveness or there's a hard feeling or there's jealousy. God, we don't need to feel that way. We have made a decision to make you Lord of our lives. And we are crazy in a world that we are living in now to make such a decision, to submit ourselves to the will of Christ. God, we pray that each one of us will love one another enough, just as David loved David, because they were one in spirit. And we will be one in spirit with each other, no matter what. We will not allow Satan to divide us, but together, Father, we will glorify you. I pray that all these lessons that has been taught in the last few weeks will really help us to bring glory to your holy name. Father, we thank you, and I pray all of this in your holy son's name. Amen.